Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Dish with Dina podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again. Today, we are venturing off our usual discussion around chronic conditions and awareness topics and focusing instead on leveraging LinkedIn for careers, specifically for those of you who might be nutrition students, dietetic interns, or already credentialed dietetics professionals, because we are celebrating Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day, which falls on the second Wednesday in March every year during National Nutrition Month. On RDN Day, we like to spotlight our fellow dietitians, and I am excited that this week's guest is Christiana Gazi, who is not only a chef and a second career dietitian with a private practice, but she is also now venturing into coaching dietitians on how to apply principles of organizational psychology to the work they do every day and position themselves as the experts in food and nutrition. So sit back, enjoy the conversation, and let's dish. Welcome, Christiana Gazi, to the Dish with Dina podcast. I am so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you and meet you in, not real life, because this is virtual space, but finally get a chance to chat with you and meet with you. How is everything going in your neck of the woods these days?
Everything's going well, Dina. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a busy few months. I had a baby about a year ago and trying to balance that with my career. So things are busy, but things are good.
I feel like busy is the middle name for a lot of us in Yes. this particular profession as dietitians, but also in the field of maybe even entrepreneurship. There's a lot of juggling of things and balancing of things. So I can't wait to talk more about that with you. And as I just mentioned to you before we hit record, I was trying to go back in time as to how we knew each other. I like to always find the origin story, and we cross paths, but not in human form because we had a couple of misconnections. But share with us a little bit about your foray into, because like me, you are also a second career dietitian. So your foray into the dietetics profession, and if you even remember coming across me and how we might have met at that time.
Sure. So I started my career as a psychology major. I went to Wagner College, a small liberal arts school in Staten Island, and just fell in love with psychology and thought, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a professor of psychology. That path led me into a master's of organizational psychology. And then I worked in an academic research center for about 4 years. And during that time, I was starting to become like a little bit disenchanted with academia, and also launching a baking blog and like bringing cookies into work. And like, I'm like, you know what? I think I might want to do something in the food industry. And I had worked in restaurants during high school and in the summers at college. I come from a food industry family. Like my grandmother was the food service director at my high school. So I was like in my mid to late 20s and like in therapy, like I needed to be like, everyone needs should be in their 20s. And my therapist was like, you know, maybe you should consider nutrition. And so I looked into it and I was like really intimidated by the prerequisites, and that probably set me back like a year of just like sort of ruminating on it. And then I finally jumped in, and I did my prereqs at LaGuardia Community College in Long Island City, Queens, which is a great experience. I had one of the best professors I've ever had, was my organic chemistry professor. There was such a good experience. And then I did my MSD PhD at Hunter College. And I did my internship with Morrison Healthcare, which is part of Compass Group. And it was a great experience. It's technically distance, but they place you. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds. I think I was like the only intern in the city, which was nice. And I did my clinical rotations at Mount Sinai. And my food service was in like a corporate wellness type of setting. And that's when I found out what a wellness manager was. And that was my first job out of my internship. And I think we must have crossed paths. I think we have a mutual connection, a couple, probably more than one mutual, probably a lot actually. through Hunter, New York City, dietetics, that kind of thing. And I think we were trying to get a coffee or something. I don't remember, but yeah, it's nice to reconnect.
Absolutely. And you're no longer in New York City. You have moved out of this city and state, correct?
Yeah, so in 2019 I moved out of the city and actually moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota for my first job as a dietitian. It was a really great opportunity, and I managed to convince my Long Island-born husband to leave the state of New York, which was no small task, but he agreed. And we spent 3 wonderful years in the upper Midwest, but ultimately decided that the East Coast was home. So we moved back a little over a year ago now, and we are in Connecticut, which is where I'm originally from, in a small city that's right on the Metro North. So it's easy to get in the city, but it's away from, the busyness. So, yeah.
The buzz and the energy of the city, close enough to visit, like you said, but far enough where you can have some breathing space. And I wanted to just remind anyone who's listening to this, I've reshaped the format of this podcast. You know, when I first started, it was a pandemic podcast, and I just wanted to get to know people. And I was just really talking to everybody from different walks of life about their earliest memories surrounding food. And I have a bit of a culinary background as well. I used to love cooking and I had a catering business a while back. And then over the last year or so, I've really tried to fine-tune the direction of what I want to do going forward. And so you are now part of this new format where you're probably the first person I'm interviewing that is a little bit detached from even food discussions or chronic conditions or special populations. And it's really more about career focusing. And the thing I love about this too, Christiana, is that it's not just particularly for our profession, even though that is who you are targeting, but I think it really speaks to a broader sense of a few things. Number one, no matter where you are in life, you may have set out to do something and now you're doing something else, and that's okay. And then number two, in the dietetics profession, you don't really have to have just one channel or path. You can do many things that serve as income, or you can side gig things, but it's really about establishing a presence. And I'd love to find out a little bit more about how you did pivot, how you did change direction from what you thought you were going to do as a dietitian to what you're doing now.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to share that, and I'm really happy with where I am now, because I think it pulls in a lot of threads of what I originally envisioned when I became a dietitian, and things that I've thought about wanting to do further down the road. So, I guess I'll share what I'm kind of doing now. I started at my first job, as I mentioned, it was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was with Compass Group, which is one of the largest food service management companies. And my client was UnitedHealth Group, which is an insurance company, obviously. And they have a huge employee population, like over 200,000 folks, across the country, a huge demographic range of people, all of which go to the office or went to the office before remote work every day and ate in a cafe that was operated by a Compass Group. At that time, the company culture of UnitedHealth Group, they were really focusing on employee wellness. And one piece of that was healthy food at all points of dining, vending machines, all the way to their catering menu and everything in between. So they needed a dietitian to work with the chefs to make sure that like their menus were meeting specific nutritional criteria. We had a teaching kitchen program. I did a ton of different wellness promotion, nutrient analysis type work. So I really like food service management, but I didn't like only having I didn't like that being all of what I was doing. And I kind of wanted to get back, so to speak, back into nutrition. And so that's when I decided I wanted to launch my private practice. And I really knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, like since the beginning. So I left that job, launched my private practice, and then since then I've started working part-time in food service management, which is a really nice fit. So I work that, do that part-time. I'm growing my practice part-time, which is plant-forward nutrition counseling, and I'm credentialed with insurance companies, which is something that I'm really proud of because I think it makes my services as accessible as they can be. And then the other bucket is I do have the background in organizational psychology, career transitions. I'm really passionate about supporting dietitians and other health professionals, certainly in their career transition. So that's where like my LinkedIn course and my new podcast kind of comes together. So I'm slowly weaving all of these strands together, and it's exciting. I'm enjoying doing it.
And I think that also speaks to not having to just pick one thing, that if you want to, like you said, weave your skill set, your knowledge, your experience. So when you officially became a registered dietitian, what year was that?
2019.
2019. Okay. So I was a few, I think I was a couple of years ahead of you. And the reason why I bring this up is because a few things, like, hello, the pandemic kind of threw a lot of things off kilter, and it may be had us shift direction or focus a little bit more about what we were doing. So, were you involved in, like, did you start growing your private practice at the tail end of that? Did it, tell me the timing of that now, too, of how that started coming about.
Sure. So I was in my full-time role until the beginning of 2022. So I worked in food service management full-time during the pandemic. And that was an all hands on deck experience. UnitedHealth Group turned all of their cafes into community kitchens. And I was a team member and a leader in a team that made, I don't even remember, a few million meals for the community across the country. So I was working full time during the pandemic within food service, and then in early 2022 made the pivot into private practice.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that because I'm trying to think of the progression of things. I became a dietitian 2015, 2016, something like that. And I went right into private practice, but there was a point in my life because when I first started, I was obviously trying to make up for some lost time financially. And so I was taking a lot of jobs that would just, be thrown at me. I got headhunted for a few things. And at one point, and I've probably said this on an episode before, at one point I go, am I an entrepreneur or am I just working seven part-time jobs? Like, what is happening? So the focus on switching to private practice and also starting up with this new service that you are providing too, how much time are you actually having to set aside? Because a lot of the discussions that come up in our conversations on this podcast as well have to do with, like, balance, as you mentioned earlier, productivity, not spreading ourselves too thin and getting burnt out with things that we love to do. So will you share a little bit too about kind of how you integrate or make time of blocking what you're currently doing, currently working on, juggling all the things? And then is it fair to assume for private practice, are you running the show solo or are you working with virtual assistants for the insurance-based part of it? I'm asking like 13 questions in one, so
No,
take
it's
your time.
fine. I'm solo, solopreneur, solo biller, all of that stuff. I don't have a hugely robust client base yet, so it's manageable at this point for me to kind of do it on my own. But I think, two things. One is I do a lot of goal setting and quarterly planning, monthly planning, weekly planning, and then taking those goals and plans and trimming them back like 25%, and like, okay, that's maybe what I'll achieve. So I think it's a balance of like, okay, what are my priorities right now? I have these buckets of work. What is the action that I could take this week that's going to have the most impact in this bucket of work? And that would be what I would focus on. From a time perspective, I work about 20 hours a week in food service management, and then I would say I have 10 to 12 hours left, that I can flex into my other roles.
That's a really good way. So you have kind of like buckets and ideas. And I also like the fact that you're scaling back and being realistic, because that's often where a lot of us very ambitious type A personalities tend to think we're piling on and we can handle everything. But really, that doesn't leave a lot for interruptions, room to breathe, scheduled self-care. And I mean, and you're a new mama too, so you have a priority there as well in your household. So share with us too a little bit about the service that you're providing now about LinkedIn, because that's actually what I think is kind of fascinating. You know, we talk about social media and all of the different changes that are going on and being SEO optimized on our websites and using the algorithm to our benefit. But LinkedIn is kind of a standalone, I think a standalone platform that is that I don't think we utilize as like a business to consumer or business to business in really robust ways. So what are some of the things that you are currently working on, and what are the things that you want to see, especially with dietitians, utilize that platform for that they might not be doing right now?
Yeah, I think dietitians have some limiting beliefs around how we can use LinkedIn to grow our businesses. LinkedIn, yes, I mean, it was probably originally intended for B2B, and it's still great for that, but there's a lot of B2C activity on LinkedIn. People have reached out to me for nutrition counseling on LinkedIn. I know that that has happened to other dietitians. It allows you to market. It allows you to do this really unique thing that I don't think any other platform does, and I don't know if there's a marketing term for it, but it's like B to C, but you're using a B to get to the C. So, like for example, let's say you're a dietitian in private practice. And you know that some of your ideal clients are on LinkedIn as consumers, but you're instead of targeting that person, you're targeting the person that has a lot of access to your ideal client. So an MD for referrals or an HR specialist that helps decide what benefits the company is going to get and whether nutrition counseling is included in that. So it's really a very targeted way to market your business and grow your following. And I think, you know, to your earlier point about like, well, how do we have time to do all this and have self-care? I think LinkedIn is a way to be really targeted on social media, rather than just, you know, and I don't have anything against Instagram, but rather than just like putting up a reel and hoping that it reaches people, you know? And sometimes it does, and that's great, but like it's just not strategic enough. Sometimes I think to be worth the effort. And so I'll talk a little bit kind of about my program. So that's my vision, I think, is that dietitians feel confident to use LinkedIn to grow their businesses, to grow their career, to grow their brand, and to grow their thought leadership. So I think another limiting belief too is that you have to hate your job or you have to be ready to make a change to be on LinkedIn. And that's not true. Like there are a lot of conversations about nutrition science and about like the profession of dietetics in general, if that's like what you want to talk about, happening on LinkedIn. And not all these conversations are led by dietitians. You know, there was that recent this is 2024. There was a recent Washington Post article, some controversies around disclosure. Those conversations were happening on LinkedIn, and many of them were anti-dietitian and not led by dietitians themselves. So my point is that there's a huge opportunity. And so what I've decided to do is to create a course that helps dietitians grow their voice on LinkedIn. And it walks through 5 steps, determine what your goals are. So those could be your business goals, your career goals, your thought leadership goals. And the reason we're talking about goals is so that we make sure our activity on LinkedIn is synced up with those goals. So we're not just like doom scrolling, right? Because you can doom scroll on LinkedIn. And so we're clarifying our goals, we're optimizing our profile, we're growing our network strategically and meaningfully through genuine interaction. And we're creating content that speaks to our ideal client, or speaks to a hiring agent or whoever it is that we're talking to on LinkedIn. And we're measuring our impact. You know, on LinkedIn, there's analytics, just like there are on other platforms. But I think it's important to remember that analytics are really what the platform wants you to do and how the platform determines success. And that's something to consider, but you have to determine what your own metrics are. And so in the course, I help walk people through like, okay, what does really success mean for you on LinkedIn beyond just speaking to the algorithm? And then I have two bonus modules. One is setting up a business page, which I think is a huge opportunity on LinkedIn. I get really sad when I go to someone's profile and they have a business, whether they have 0 clients or 1,000 clients, whether they have a paid service or a free service, if they have something to offer, you should have a business page. And I get sad when I go to a profile and there's that little gray box next to like the, plant-based nutrition services by so and so. I'm like, just create a business page and you'll have a cute little logo and it'll look so much more professional, you know? So we do business profile to business pages and groups, and then a quick module into job searching as well. So it's all self-paced. There's homework as you go along. I do monthly office hours as well, where we can bring ideas, collaborate. And then this is all housed under my new brand community called How Dietitians Work, which is really the application of conversations around the application of organizational psychology to the field of dietetics. And I wanted to have something paid to offer to my audience. And so that LinkedIn course I felt like was a natural extension of that. So I'm really excited, about all of this.
I'm taking all this in because I've been dipping my toe in a lot of different things. I also get very overwhelmed very easily, but I also know that I want to be consistent. And like you were mentioning too, with making sure your actions align with your values and your goals and your mission. And the thing you mentioned too before has also come up in previous episodes with this limiting mindset, limiting beliefs, and versus abundance mindset. And that is a mindset shift, and it has to rely a lot on people's self-reliance, confidence levels. That's not something we're teaching, obviously, in school when we're going through the textbooks of, nutrition therapy and biochem and all that stuff. So I don't think that, obviously, it depends on where students are going to learn, but I don't necessarily knock the schools for not having things like marketing or career building. But I'm also happy to see that some schools are implementing, even if it's just like a 1 or 2 credit course within the curriculum, of something along the lines of how to develop yourself for a career or set yourself up for business. So I'm really happy that some of the students are now getting a taste of that. And so when it comes to the limiting beliefs or breaking out of that shell, can you share a little bit too? Is there, I want to say demographically, is there like a typical person that you're working with that's within a certain age range? Is it a second career who's like a little nervous? Is it a new registered dietitian coming in? Who is your target audience within that LinkedIn community that you're trying to, pitch to now?
I think my main audience for this course is somebody that has some offer for an audience. So it could be someone that has a podcast, it could be someone that has a nutrition counseling business, and they are trying to promote their work on other platforms and they're not getting results. They're not getting clients coming to them. And they've heard, or they're not growing their audience. And they've heard that LinkedIn is a great place to start, but they're like, I have no idea where to start. Isn't that just for finding jobs? What do I post? Who do I connect with? So usually it's someone that already has a LinkedIn profile. But like doesn't currently spend a whole lot of time on LinkedIn. I don't think that's someone like immediately out of school, but that doesn't mean it couldn't be, because a lot of second career dietitians, especially, come with a very clear idea of what they want to do after, and they're ready to like start their own businesses immediately. So I think it's someone that just has something to offer or is doing some freelance work or something on the side, that really wants to be able to set themselves apart from others.
Yeah, I believe in quality, not quantity. And I think when I first started on LinkedIn, or even really any social media stuff, but LinkedIn in particular, because there is such a, there's the levels of connection, right? This person may know somebody, or here's who is being suggested to you, kind of like when you go shopping on Amazon. It's like maybe you're interested in this. And what I appreciate is the ability to say, like, oh, I found your profile interesting and I'd love to connect and hope we can learn a little bit more about each other. What I don't love is people come in hot and immediately trying to sell me something when I just acknowledged and just accepted their connection request. And so, speaking on that, right, for people who might be a little bit nervous or might be a little ambitious, do you have a couple of tips about how to ease into the world of LinkedIn if they've never done it before? The to-dos and the not-to-dos, perhaps.
One, when it comes to optimizing your profile, I think if you're going to do anything at all, you want to optimize that headline section where you talk about what you do. So, renal dietitian, NICU dietitian, freelance nutrition writer. Make sure the words that you want people to find you through and search or that you want to be known for are in your headline if you're going to optimize anywhere in your profile. That would be my first thing I would do. Then, when it comes to growing your network, if you're feeling reticent, I would start slow. Start with your first connections, start with people that you know in real life. Like, you might be surprised at like how many of your coworkers or how many of the people you interact with that you're not actually connected with because you never thought to send them a connection request. So, start with people that you know in real life or someone that you met at a conference or something like that, and then you have the confidence to be like, okay, like they know me, they're not going to think this is spam. And then over time, you'll start to be more confident in just sending connection requests to people that you don't know with a note, of course. And then the third thing I would say is start posting on LinkedIn. And if you, A, don't have a lot of time, or B, are not sure what to post, one thing that's really helpful is you can repost other people's content, just like you can on other platforms. But you can repost and add your thoughts. So find a post or find an influencer or thought leader in your niche and start engaging with their content. Even before you post, you can start engaging, you can start commenting, you can follow groups, pages in your niche. And then once you're feeling like, I think I could share something. And repost it with your thoughts, and try to push yourself a little bit beyond just saying, hey, this is an interesting read. Why is it an interesting read? And what does this mean for your target audience? Like, for example, if you are a clinical dietitian and you're really trying to kind of grow your thought leadership within a really specific technical area of nutrition, let's say you're a transplant dietitian, or liver, let's get even more specific. You're a liver transplant dietitian, and there's a new article out from Aspen about, parenteral nutrition in liver patients. Share the post, say why you think it's interesting, and then say, this is what I think this means for liver dietitians, or this is what this means for families of liver patients. So you're really starting to like show your expertise without having to create any content on your own other than a caption.
The thing that I like about what you're saying too, in case anybody out there is thinking, okay, but how, we go back to what you mentioned earlier, right? Put things into time slots, schedule things onto your calendar. I have this as well. Like, I have certain times of the day where I check my email, certain times of the day where I jump onto social media, certain times of the week where I'll catch up on newsletters, professional development things, read current trends, try to get a feel of maybe what I'm missing out on or what might resonate. I also am an adjunct lecturer, so sometimes when I really have something hot topic-y, then I'll just bring it to class and be like, we're not talking about anything in the textbook today. Let's have a conversation about this. And it really does help engage the audience, but more so, like you said, it allows you to become more comfortable and confident in your role in your career. So I think, we hear this term like imposter syndrome a lot of times where, I mean, are we ever perfect at anything? Maybe not ever, but it's really nice that you know that there's a difference between having a job and having a career. You're implementing strategies, you're putting time in to help build yourself, and that really does help you. Like, that helps you be an expert in your field. And the other thing you mentioned too about first starting out, right? Like, I've always said this to people too, especially as the example I gave earlier, where I connect with somebody on LinkedIn and they're like, hey, let me sell you my business. I'm a coach who does whatever. I'm like, I don't know you. Is I always come at it with, How can I be of service to you? What is it that you need? Or is there a way that we can work or partner up in some way that could expand on what your mission is, while
Yes.
obviously also benefiting me, not just me trying to solicit myself, because that's a big turnoff. But we all have to make money and build our business in some way. But there really is, I think, a mutual beneficial way to do that.
I
So
agree.
yeah, I appreciate that. So, Christiana, I want to keep my eye on the time and talk a little bit more about a couple of things. So, you mentioned before about, keeping things balanced and how you are productive. In the personal world of you, what are some of your priorities that you have? I call them like the non-negotiables. Like when you wake up or when you go to bed or anytime during the day, what absolutely has to be done for you to stay grounded in the health and wellness world?
Yeah, I have to have breakfast. If I don't have breakfast, my day is just, I need to have breakfast. So, one thing that's been that one change that I made recently is now that my son is sleeping a little bit more consistently, I've started saying, okay, I'm going to wake up before him to make sure that I can have breakfast like before he has his bottle, kind of a thing. And that's been really helpful. But having breakfast is a non-negotiable for me, and going for a walk. I go for a walk every day. For most days, if it's like super icy out and like it's, dangerous or something, then I won't go. But those are two things that I must do every day.
I'm a huge breakfast fan. If nothing else happens in my day, I carve out, I think it's about 3 hours in the morning where people I know who like hit the alarm and just like jump out of bed. I'm not that kind of person. I like easing into things. And especially right now at the time of this recording, it's still dark out early, it's dark out later. The time is sort of switching up a little bit, but it really takes me time to kind of like get up and running. But I really enjoy just having that quiet time, cooking myself something. And for the most part, for the rest of the time, the rest of the meals that I have, I'm not scratch cooking a lot, but I will always make from scratch my breakfast. So that could be something as simple as like, eggs and toast, or, well, I mean, oatmeal is not me making it from scratch, but I'll make myself like a hearty bowl of something. Like I really enjoy just sitting down and easing into my day. So I'm a breakfast type of gal too. Is there anything that you wanted to share as far as like the hot topics are concerned? Is there anything, whether it's in our field or anything that you're coming across that you feel like might be needing clarification or debunking of some sort that you feel like just kind of grates on you every time you see it?
I think I'm concerned about some of the conversations that I see on in Facebook groups about, people's dissatisfaction with becoming a dietitian, burnout, not feeling like they are getting paid what they should be getting paid, not feeling respected by allied providers, being talked down to by everyone on social media. And I think it's a lot. I think that I wasn't prepared for that when I became a dietitian. I was really ill prepared to communicate the science of nutrition. And I think that that's a gap in our education. And to your earlier point, you can't expect a DPD program to cover everything. But I think there's an angst within our profession, and it scares me a little.
I'm going to agree with you because I keep seeing, I'm 6 years into teaching now, and I keep seeing over and over, and especially with the pandemic that threw a lot of things off, both for people losing their jobs, finances, but also forcing the remote learning where a lot of students were just not prepared or equipped to do that. They really flourished instead being on campus. And then, of course, this mandate with us now having to have a master's degree, throwing extra costs and extra time. I feel like every time I go into a class, I have to say, please hang in there because we need you. We need you so much. And we'll try to figure out how to make this work. But I do agree with the words you just used with angst over it. So certain students will come so far and then just say, professor, I'm switching out. I'm going into nursing, or I'm going to go into community stuff and not go into the clinical things and the community things, especially in New York. We don't require to have a certain credential or a license for certain things. They can do other things instead and have their bachelor's degree and just kind of call that Unless they want to move forward, it's not like being forced upon them. So you're absolutely right. I don't know what the workaround is. I mean, just continue to promote and provide resources and, give some guidance. And of course, also, like you said, same with me, I wasn't necessarily prepared for what was to come. As a second career, you would think we would have been more savvy because it's not like fresh out of high school, but it really was jarring as to, wait, how much time? What do I have to do? And so I think backing in even before, like going to high school health career fairs or, making speaking engagements and talking a little bit about the profession and just at least setting up people to be prepared to what to expect going in. And then advocating for ourselves, saying no to crappy salaries or, making sure we stand up and negotiate for what we need as a team. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? How do we flip the switch?
It's gonna sound kind of weird, and this is really off the top of my head, but it's almost, I don't even want to say it out loud, but like it's almost encouraging people to care a little bit less. And let me clarify what I mean by that. I think dietetics and maybe other healthcare professions are like this too, but we are so incredibly passionate about what we did. Every single dietitian I meet, especially frankly, second career dietitians, have like this incredibly like value-driven personal narrative that pushed them into like that called them into the field of dietetics. And on the one hand, that's beautiful. But on the other hand, that sets up a lot of expectations for like this perfect career that just doesn't exist. And so I think part of it might be tempering expectations a bit for folks that are entering into the profession, and then also just equipping them a bit more with practical communication skills. The salary stuff needs to be worked out, and that's obviously a concern. But I think that like tempering expectations a little bit more and just being like, listen, like this isn't, yes, it can be a passion, but like it also can just be a job.
I absolutely love that. And I really do feel like, you played it legit just now. Like you told us what it was. I used to be a high achiever and it burnt me out extremely bad for many, many years in a row, many, many times. And so my new mantra has been strive for mediocrity because as my dad once said to me a very long time ago, and he was not one to dole out compliments, he said, "You put in so much effort that even at your most mediocre, you're still better than everyone else's best." And I was like, why am I trying so hard with all this stuff? So good enough is good enough. And then, like you said too, with tempering the expectations of allow it to be what it is, maybe at some point the field might change up a little bit, but also find desirability in other ways or find benefits in other ways. Maybe going to conferences and, networking with people. And that's what gets your jazzes you up a bit about the profession. And the rest of it is you clock in, you clock out, and you call it a day. So I love that, tough talk, but easy talk too in that sense. Thank you, Christiana.
Happy to have had this conversation, and I think like the themes of balance and mostly balance have really resonated with me. So it's timely for me, and no, this is good.
What do you see for the future of you, right? Not so much the future of dietetics, but if you're thinking as a planner, if you're thinking more in the like 3 to 5 to 10 year time, where do you see yourself going?
I see myself working as little as possible to support my needs and my goals. I really believe in like a lifestyle driven career planning. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to become an entrepreneur so I could have the privilege of managing my own time. But I see myself, continuing to grow as a leader in my business and staying engaged with dietetics. I love the field. But I also see myself kind of growing creatively. I just moved into a house and first time ever, since growing up in a house. But so I'm starting a garden. So I'm looking forward to learning more about plants and things like that is something that and I love playing tennis as well. So I invest a lot of time watching tennis when the majors come. Like right now, at the time that we're chatting, is the Australian Open. But definitely playing tennis again is on my list for the next, short while. And I think I'm going to become a USTA official so I can get out there and judge some tournaments and also play myself. So those would be two like creative interests I have outside of work. And I think just doing whatever I can to continue my career growth in a way that feels authentic to me and in a way that helps others too, whether that's helping my clients, eat more plants, or helping dietitians get their voice out there and feel a bit more stable in the crazy healthcare and food system that we live in. So
Well, I am very honored to call you a colleague, and I think everything that you have set out to do is super beneficial and very much needed as well. I really feel like it speaks to the driving factor of empowering everyone who is going forward, and also for people who've been in it who maybe feel a little bit stagnant or like us wanting to try something different and are new at the entire profession and just being like, oh, there's a way into this and out of it, and I can kind of navigate this new world. So I'm really happy that you are doing what you're doing. My final two questions, my figurative and literal questions that wrap up each episode, is what is on your plate today, Christiana, as far as when we're done talking, what's the next thing that you are currently doing or working on? And then what is the next meal that you will be eating?
the next thing is actually dinner. So I think we have some pork tenderloin with some veggies and some brown rice downstairs. So I think that's what's for dinner this evening. This week has been unique. My son started part-time daycare, so I've had some windows of time, which is great. So this week I am really working on the marketing for my LinkedIn course, getting that out into the world, and trying to map out my first podcast for how dietitians work.
That is fantastic. So a lot on your plate, and it sounds like a yummy dinner. So please enjoy that. I will be linking to everything that you have shared with me as far as your social media or where to find you, your website, et cetera. And I'm really excited to be keeping in touch, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for both you and the people that you will be mentoring and coaching along the way as well.
Thank you. This is wonderful, Dina.
Thank you so much for joining me this week on the Dish with Dina podcast. I am Dina D'Alessandro, registered dietitian, nutritionist, founder, and chief executive life changer at Dish with Dina, and I'm also your host. If you like what you heard, I would be so grateful if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and share this with others who you think might benefit from what we have to offer on these episodes. You can also join my mailing list at dishwithdina.com or email me at info@dishwithdina.com with questions, comments, feedback, and if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, because everybody eats and we all have a story to share. I hope you tune back in next week when we dish again.